Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's just say a word of prayer. Father, we thank you.
Amen.
We bless your name.
Amen.
We glorify your name.
Yes.
You are the one who decrees, and nothing can hinder it. Your word says that you declare the end from the beginning.
Yes, Lord.
You are the Almighty God.
Amen.
That is nothing that is beyond your scope.
Yes, Lord.
And so we come to thank you for what you are doing in our midst this morning.
Amen.
For we see that you have set the atmosphere for us to come into your presence.
Oh, yes.
I will say thank you, our Father.
Thank you, Lord.
We give you all the glory.
Yes,
we come to commit every heart unto you, our God.
Amen.
That, Lord, no heart will be distracted.
Amen.
We command the enemy to give way.
Amen.
For this environment is the environment of our God.
Amen.
That no defilement, no darkness is permitted.
Amen.
And so we come this hour, O God, to yield our hearts to you.
Amen.
We yield our spirits to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As servants to obey him.
Yes, Lord.
So we say, have your way.
Amen.
Take control.
Amen.
Let every word that we hear come from your very throne.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Touch our hearts.
Amen.
To be connected with you, our Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Thank you, our Father.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Blessed be your name.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The message is actually in line with the prayers that we have just had. We are coming to establish, to cut a new covenant with our God, a covenant of a new allegiance, to turn from our ways to him, the ways that we do not really understand, but he understands all. Everything that is contrary to him in our lives, we want to give. We want to set aside and surrender our all to him.
So,
and in that line, we will make a few admonitions before we support it with the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
We, the children of God, are a new breed of people that Jesus has ordained to finish the work in the earth. He did it to an extent that he wanted to do it, and he empowered us. He took us with him on the cross. He took us with him into the grave. And he took us with him in resurrection. And he took us with him to sit at the right hand of God. Even as we are seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are not ordinary people. The enemy has come to deceive. He has come to steal. He has come to maim. He has come to kill. And that is the warfare that we have at this time. And that is why in his word, he is admonishing us that we should arise. He that sleepeth should arise. So this morning, we will look at a few scriptures that the enemy is deceiving the hearts of brethren, our hearts, without we knowing that we are spending our time and our energy against ourselves. Thereby hindering us from achieving the full estate that has been allotted to us by our God. The enemy is selling fear to us. The enemy is telling us stories. The enemy is doing things around us. But God is saying that our response should not be to what the enemy is doing that the physical eyes are seeing, but to respond to our God in love and in mercy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This morning we are going to look at what we should be doing at this time as the children of God, so that our full estate will be recovered. We are going to look at, first of all, the book of 2 Corinthians 5. Let's quickly look at it. We'll start from 18, verses 18 to 20. It reads, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 20. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself. 2 Corinthians 5, from 18. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, what that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Hallelujah. Our duty as children of the Most High God is to find, to rediscover our place in Christ, so that we will be totally reconciled unto him. Like we have prayed this morning, that our allegiance to him will be complete. We will not be a people that are half-hearted in our pursuit of the things of the kingdom of our God. And so he told the children of Israel. He actually told them what he requires of them. I think we have to also look at that. Let me quickly look at it. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10, and verse 12, he says, The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, from verse 12. It says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and the statutes which I command thee this day for thy good." Hallelujah. You see, God has a plan for us. He has a purpose. He has a place for us. And he told the children of Israel, "Go in and take the city, for I have given you the city." That tells me that I have a place in the program of God. That tells me you have a place in the program of God. So cross over and take the land, for I have given you the land. And here he's saying that we should keep his commandments this day for our good. Let's continue. "Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's, thy God. The earth also with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in our fathers to love them and to, and he chose them, he chose their seed, that is ourselves, after them, even you above all people, as it is this day. Circumcise, therefore, the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked." These are God's plans before us. But the enemy has made an inroad into the body of Christ, such that we have groupings, we have denominations, we have preferences, we have differences in doctrines, we have differences in interpretations, and these things tend to divide us, which is contrary to God's plan. And God is saying that we should not give in. We should not give in. As children of the Most High God, we have the power to believe and to stay in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ unto the end, because he is our strength. What he needs is only for us to obey. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, God wants us to be reconciled back to him. And I've been having this burden of brethren to be born again and again. We need to be born again and again. Begin to reconcile our differences. In his word, he said we should love him with all of our hearts, with the whole of our might, with the whole of our strength, with all of our minds. And he didn't stop at that. He said, we should love our neighbor as ourselves. And this is where the enemy is attacking. He attacks our hearts such that my heart will not be very free with my brother's heart. When I see my brother, I have reservations. When my brother sees me, he has his reservations. When we talk with one another, we have our limits to go. But it shouldn't be so. God is saying we should reconcile ourselves back to him such that our lives would be transparent, so that his spirit will move and there be no hindrance. Let us not allow the enemy to suggest anything to us. The war is raging. It has started. You and I must win this war, because the war has been won already on the cross. We have the solution. We have to work towards the solution. Why is God saying that we should love our neighbor as ourselves? In the scripture, it says that if you love your brethren alone, and you do not love those that are not close to you, are you doing anything better than what the publicans will do? What is God saying? He's talking about a pure heart. A heart that carries any bitterness. A heart that carries any offense. A heart that carries any hurt. It's like a waste truck. It's like a waste truck. Even when it has discharged the waste, the smell is still there. It has discharged everything, but when you pass by it, you will still perceive a smell. That is how the heart of a man who is not completely free in his heart, whether among his brethren or among the unbelievers, we should not hold any person in our hearts, whether a believer or a non-believer, whether a Muslim or a Hindu. Christ loved every one of us, but he hated sin. So that which we are going to hate is that which has come over the people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why today, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Brethren, we are at a war front. And this war has nothing to do with our physical existence as to what we can overcome or gain. But they are spiritual in nature. And God has given us the victory. So this says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Brethren, we have to dissolve every partition. We have to re-examine our Christian life. We have to look at ourselves. If there is anything that is still hanging, how are we living our daily Christian life? Is it free? Paul, in the book of Acts 24:16, I think we can quickly look at it. Acts 24:16. Acts 24:16. Can you open that? Acts 24:16. 24:16. It was before the high priest, because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was telling them how he had lived his life in uprightness, in strict obedience of the law and of the commandments of God. And he said, and herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. A clear heart. This world that is before us, we cannot fight and win it when we are discriminatory. When we see some persons and they mean different things to us, we cannot fight and win this war if we approach it in that manner. This war must be fought with the flesh dead. We must die to ourselves. Everything that speaks of our own desires must die. Jesus telling his disciples and those around that, who are my brothers and mothers and whatever? I did not this that they hear and do the will. Now, what was he saying? He was talking about a people that are wholly given to the Father. And that is what he is expecting of us as his disciples. As his followers, as people that have learned of him, that the will of our Father, the will of God, remains supreme in our daily living. Therefore, it says, rejoice. Rejoice because our link with God is unbroken. When the business of our Father becomes our business, when our lives mean nothing to us, in the book of Genesis, it said that those that are before the throne are those that have been redeemed from the earth, those that have been beheaded, those that follow the Lamb unto the end, those who are intimately following him, not minding themselves even unto death. Therefore, brethren, flesh has nothing to do with our business now. As we see, iniquity is increasing. The Bible says that righteousness will much more increase. Let us look at ourselves. Is it so in our lives? Is righteousness increasing in us? Our fleshly desires and motives, are they not having hold on us? If it is so, then we cannot go to the war front. We cannot fight. We should be beheaded. Christ should be the one that will dictate our daily lifestyles. Christ should be in the forefront of our desires. The enemy knows that victory is ours. And all that he is doing is to deceive us. And he passes through our flesh. You know that the main war fronts that the enemy has are three. It comes through the flesh. Goes through the systems of the world, and it comes through the devil directly to oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you know what? When we are liberated, when our flesh dies, the war is won already. What the devil is using to pull us down is through the fleshly desires and the demands of the flesh that we are entertaining, that we are subtle to. Let us mortify our flesh.
Amen.
That is the key to success in this war. By strength shall no man prevail. By strength shall no man prevail. Brethren, this world, this world is not ours. That's what the Bible says. My Bible says so. You know, so I think your Bible says so, sweet.
Yes.
Jesus says that if this were his kingdom, and the Father would have sent legions to come and fight for him. But do you know what? He is coming back.
Amen.
He is coming back.
Amen.
Even in this place, to set up his kingdom.
Amen.
And you and I will reign with him. Amen. Brethren, let us look away. Both what the enemy is supplying in terms of good things and in terms of bad things, let them not be our preoccupation. They are distractions. The good and the bad of all is a distraction. Our focus should be on the kingdom of our God. That does not mean that it should not work. That does not mean that you should not wear good clothes. That does not mean you should not drive good cars. But our hearts will not possess them. That is why, you know, if I want a car, I go to Brother Emeka and he gives someone, he says, okay, use this one. And when you buy your car, you give me this one. It's because he has not possessed it. Do you know that there are some people's cars that you cannot enter? You cannot step into it. Those are possessions. Just an example, by the way. You see, God has given us good things. But those good things are temporary. That temporarily, you know, showing the goodness of God in our hearts, you know, because by these good things, some might be recovered from the hold of the enemy. So God does everything for our good. And let not anything that we see around be a distraction. Hallelujah. That the kingdom of our God should be the focus. Now God says in his word in Romans 8, verse 28. You should quickly open to that. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. Romans 8, verse 28. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Say, and we know, brethren, what do we know? Now God is saying, because we are his people, we have learned of him. Say, and we know. And if we know, why do we get anxious sometimes? Why are we afraid sometimes? If we know, why do we worry that we do not have a job? We do not have a house. Why do we worry? If we know. And do you know that even this pandemic is good to us, the children of God?
No.
He allowed this pandemic for our good.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm not hearing response.
Amen. That this
pandemic is for our good.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
People that have not prayed for 1 week have been praying for months.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Are closer to God. We are closer to God, brethren. And that is the reason. See, when God says something, he meant it. We can only ask him for explanation. He will open our eyes. People today know that it is only God that can sustain them in the surface of the earth.
Yes.
People today know that there is a God in the heavens, even among believers. I tell you, the faith of many is shaking. And the only way that they are standing is when one comes to tell them, the Lord says he is by you. Don't be afraid. Nothing will happen to you. Do you know what that does? Life and strength comes to such a one. Life and strength comes immediately.
Yes.
People that have not been sleeping will begin to sleep well in the house. Some people's appetite has gone. They needed one person to tell them that do not worry. God is in charge. that our God will not forsake any one of us.
Amen.
He said that if he can give us, if we earthly evil fathers can give good things to our children, how much more our Father in heaven? How easily can he give to us the Holy Spirit, the strength that we have to carry on? The Holy Spirit, the power of God for us to withstand the wiles of the enemy, so that we overcome the enemy even by our faith. And it is the faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ as empowered by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Therefore, let us close ranks. I was discussing with my son here, and I said, look, there is need for brethren to discuss and know different interpretations and opinions. And after that, you keep them aside. That is where the test is. If I've discussed with you and you begin to keep a straight face, then you have to go back to God. You must reconcile to God. That is what God is saying. Be ye reconciled unto me. Because I tell you, this matter is not about flesh and blood. It is a total surrendering to our God. It is not by power nor by might. That is why when the prayers were going on, I was so, so glad. And when the prayer of allegiance came, I said, my God, what else will you speak to make me believe that you are in our midst? Brethren, God knows your situation. He knows my situation. And anything that he allows is for our good. Is for our good.
Thank you, Jesus.
He says in his word that, though speaking about David, since he was small, and now that he is old, although he was old, he didn't see the righteous forsaken, nor their children forsaken. I mean, beg for bread. Brethren, heavens is his attention, is at attention unto us. Let us cut off every foreskin. The trap that the enemy is setting is about our relationships with one another, not only in the body, with fellow human beings, relationships. Brethren, let us take note. Our relationships with people will be out of love, no matter what happens. Even if the person is an armed robber, let's pray and bind that spirit of armed robbery, not the man. Let our hearts go out to fulfill the law of our God, to love. Anything out of that brings an oozing smell from our hearts to God. Anything other than that, our walk becomes a bad smell to God. Our hearts must be right at all times. That is what God is saying. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, in Colossians 3:10, Colossians 3:10. Let me quickly go there. Colossians 3:10. Now, when we are reconciled unto him, unto God, there must be something in us to show that we are truly reconciled unto him. That is our day-to-day living. Say that, let our testimony be not only before brethren, but also before the unbelievers. Therefore, when a man that is so wicked receives that love of God from you, he goes about to publish the love of God by himself. So the ministry that we have now is not only when we open our mouths, but every single day that we live, by our lifestyles, the word of God is preached. That new man is seen in us. That our hearts be reconciled are new, and men are seeing and testifying to the glory of our God. It does not matter whether the person is a Greek or a Jew. It does not matter whether the person is a white or a black. Whoever that person is, whether the person is a drug addict or not, it does not matter. Let our lives so shine. And the moment we are truly reconciled to God, this battle is won. That is what God is waiting for. The creatures are waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. It is now, it is not tomorrow. Brethren, we must manifest. We must manifest the signs and the wonders. See that a man, Tertullus, an orator, was accusing Paul before the high priest. He said, this man is a pestilent fellow. He was describing Paul as a pestilent fellow. You know what it means to be a pestilent fellow? He has scattered, that is, anywhere he saw them worshiping idol, he would go in and say, look, this idol that you are worshiping, don't know the idol. See, that is a true God. So this man has come to disturb and disorganize our way of life, our traditions and our everything he has destroyed. That he was a pestilent fellow. Let men speak of us in that same manner, in that same word, that we are pestilent fellows. You know, when we are praying, we talked about God helping us so that we do not compromise in any way. You see, we have to be pestilent fellows before the unbelievers. We cannot compromise in any way. Brethren, We are a people separated unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a people set aside to accomplish the purpose of God in the earth. And our daily lives must picture that. Our daily lives must capture that. That when men outside see us, they will immediately know that this one is not part of us. And that will not come without the flesh dying. I repeat this matter of the flesh, because that is the greatest weapon now that the enemy is using. Because of our desires, because of lack of temperance, let us look back at ourselves. Let us look back at ourselves again. So that if we think that we are standing, any man that is thinking that he's standing should take heed. Let none of us think that we are standing. We've not started manifesting, but we must manifest as the sons of God in the earth, and it is now. And it is the flesh that is holding you and I back. But by the mercies and the grace of our God, we can overcome the flesh even now. As we are hearing the voice of God through his word, the flesh can be overcome. It's by obedience. It's by the fear of God. Is by allegiance to our God. We thank God that the war is not by our strength. It is not by the wisdom of man. It is not by anything of us. Brethren, let our desires begin to change. Let our focus begin to change. And the moment the enemy is incapacitated in these areas, we will then be what God wants us to be.
Amen.
Say that our hearts must be prepared for him. Our hearts cannot be prepared for him if the flesh is still reigning, if the flesh is still very much alive. Our hearts cannot be prepared, and we cannot be surrendered unto him. God wants total surrendering of us. He has said it in his word. Say Ezra, he talks about Ezra. I think it is in Ezra 7. Let's look at Ezra. Ezra. Ezra 7:10. So for Ezra had prepared what? His heart. To seek the law of the Lord focus. We must be focused with a prepared heart, surrendered unto him. And that he, our God, becomes our way of life. That which we desire, the things that interest us, no longer rules. The things that appeal to us no longer rule our lives. Let Christ alone, our head, rule us. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So our hearts must be prepared. There must be a conscious decision to walk with God. There must be that consciousness. Ezra is in before Christ came in the flesh. Now that we have Christ, in addition to preparing our hearts, we have a helper, the Holy Spirit. We have a helper. And that is why, brethren, you and I have no excuse of any sort at all. Let us not fail God, because we do not have excuse. He has prepared all for us. Let us give ourselves. Let us give ourselves. He is one that will do it, and he will accomplish it. If only we will give ourselves to him. If only we will deny ourselves. Most times we do not even know when we are carrying out our own things and not seeking his face. Brethren, the time is now that things must change. Our lifestyles, our focus, the things that we stand for, the things that we desire, and all must change. Because things have changed. The landscape has changed. The topography has changed. And we must be renewed in our hearts. We have to stand our ground up to the end. It's only he that desires to follow the Lord unto the end. He that desires this change, who has no desire for his life anymore. The Bible says that when we want to save our lives, we will lose it. Let's not our hearts deceive us anymore. There is nothing that we can do to save our lives. Therefore, let us surrender completely, we thank God for what God is doing in Winnipeg. When I hear the young men preach, sing, admonish, I am humbled. This morning, in fact, I want to thank Philip and Nonso. I want to thank you for, you were resilient. You were not distracted. And I praise God for your lives. And I praise God for the lives of the brethren in Winnipeg. We know that that estate that God has prepared for you, you will receive it.
Amen.
You will take hold of it.
Amen.
And you will prosper in it.
Amen.
The God of the heavens and the earth has declared it in your lives by what he is doing. And I pray that even as you're hearing his voice through his word this afternoon, that your lives will take a leap into Christ in the name of Jesus. That the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in this land will receive a leap and an unprecedented progress in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That the unity among the brethren here will be cemented. Christ will be formed in your relationships.
Amen.
As you love one another, you also love any man that comes across you,
amen,
fulfilling the law of Christ,
amen,
in the name of Jesus.
Amen.